Let us find together Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12. One scholar has very aptly stated concerning the book of Romans, quote, "When an individual gets Romans, God gets that individual." In Romans chapter 1, Paul says that it is the gospel that is the power of God to salvation. The reason that is important is because in Romans chapter 2 and chapter 3, Paul says that regardless of your race, creed, ethnicity, rich or poor, that all of us are sinners that come short of what God wants. In Romans chapter 4, Paul says that Jesus died and was raised for our justification. In Romans chapter 5, Paul says that the universal consequences of sin is death. Then we come to Romans, the 6th chapter, and Paul tells us how we can be saved from all of this sin and this spiritual death. He says that as many of us have been immersed into the waters of baptism, where we contact the benefits of the death of Jesus, and that by that act of faith, allowing ourselves to be baptized, we come in contact with that precious blood of Jesus. And Paul says that we rise up out of this water and we begin to live a new life. We then come to Romans chapter 12 through chapter 16. And in this last section of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul packs it with instructions on how we are to live this new life as a Christian. Now this morning, I want us to focus in Romans, the 12th chapter. Because specifically in this chapter, Paul deals with relationships. In verses 3 through 16, Paul talks about our relationship with our fellow Christians. That is, what relationship do we as Christians, what are we to hold toward each other? In verses 17 through 21, Paul talks about our relationship with those who are our enemies. But he begins the chapter in verse 1 and 2, where we're going to focus with our relationship with God. There is nothing more important in any and all of our lives than our relationship to God. As hard as this is to get your mind around, do the best you can. 1 million years from this moment, the only thing that will matter to any of us is what was our relationship to God when we lived our lives here. So in verse 1 and verse 2 of Romans 12, the Apostle Paul talks about how we as Christians are to maintain our relationship with God. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God," pause, The mercies of God is what Paul has been talking about for the first 12 chapters. What he has had to do in order to make it possible for us to get in a right relationship with himself. So based on all of those mercies, watch what he says. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul says that once we become Christians, we then have a responsibility to sustain a right relationship with God. And in these two verses, Paul lays down what it is that we must give God to keep that relationship with him where it ought to be. Now look, God has done his part. God will continue to do his part. So understand that if your relationship or my relationship with God breaks down, it's not going to break down from heaven's side. It's going to break down from our side. So what must we give him to sustain this relationship, this right relationship with him? In these two verses, Paul mentions four things. In these two verses, Paul says we must give God four things. Number one, to sustain the right relationship with him, we must give God our love. Now, every word of these two verses are screaming love. Look what it says. We are to present our bodies to him as living sacrifices. Nobody's going to do that unless they love God. We are not to conform to the ways of the world. We are to conform to the ways of God. Nobody does that who doesn't love God. We are to set aside what our will is, and we are to live our lives according to his will. Nobody's going to do that who doesn't love God. So the first step in you and I maintaining the most important relationship of our lives, our relationship with God, is that we must give God our love. Now, I'm going to Matthew 22, and you're going with me. Matthew chapter 22, and let's work on this idea of loving God. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 36. Teacher, Jesus is being addressed. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? Let's stop right there. Now, the rabbis of old said that there were 613 laws that made up the law of Moses. 613. Basically, what Jesus is being asked here is that of those over 600 commandments, which is the one there that's most important? Jesus, if you could take all of those laws and condense them down into just one law and not over 600 laws, what would that one law be? Look at verse 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Brethren, listen. We maintain our relationship to God by giving Him our love. But now there are two things you need to understand about this love that we're to love Him with. Number one, according to this passage, we must not love God just partially, but we must love Him totally. Look at verse 37. Every time you read the word all, underline it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. We are to love God not in part but in whole. We are to love God totally, not partially. This is the love that we are to have for God. Now look what he says. We are to love God with all our heart. Your heart there is your emotions, your feelings. We are to love God with all of our emotion, all of our feelings. He says we're to love God with all of our soul. The word soul there means the essence of your life. Without your soul, you don't have a life. Your life ends when the spirit is separated from your body. This is the essence of life. This is the you that is down deeper and more core than anything else. And that very essence by which you draw breath and everything else, you must love God completely with the essence of your being. He says we are to love God with all of our mind. What does that mean? That means that our intellect must submit to God. Now put this together. What are we talking about? We're talking about sustaining our relationship with God. How do I do that? I do that by giving God my love. Not partially, but wholly. This love talked about here, this is a love that will control my emotions. This is a love that will direct the steps of my life. This is a love that will take the lead in my thinking and in the process and in the thought process of my life. To sustain a relationship with God, we must give Him our love. Now here's the tricky part. The tricky part is that everybody thinks they know what love is and don't. I mean, we say, well, I love God, and in the same breath, I love pizza. Amen? You're not saved if you don't love pizza, by the way, but it's a different deal. So how do we show this love? First, we show this love to God by the place we give God in our lives. Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. Listen, if I love God, God will be my priority. If I allow everything under heaven's blue sky to interfere with my faithfulness and my attention to God, then I don't love God. And if I don't love God, I'm not maintaining my relationship with Him. And without that right relationship with Him, I have no chance here. So I must love Him. But how do I show that? I show that by the place that I get. God is my priority. But how do we show this love we're talking about? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. I don't prove my love for God by the words that I speak. I don't prove my love for God by the thrill that might run up my leg. I don't prove my love for God by putting a bumper sticker on the back of my car that says, "Honk if you love Jesus." I prove my love for God by obeying His commandments. How do I show my love for God? I show it by the place that I give Him. I show it by keeping His commandments. How do we show our love for God to maintain our relationship with Him? We show it by being uniters and not dividers. Psalm 133 and verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Our relationship with God. We've been converted. If you're a Christian, you were raised out of that water to walk in a new life. What's involved in that life is keeping a right relationship with God. How do I do that? Paul says the first thing is you give God your love. Not part of it, but you give it to Him totally. And when you have that, the world won't have to ask you if you got it. Number two. Back to Romans 12. How do we sustain our relationship with God? We give Him our love. And number two, we give Him our bodies. Our bodies. Look at Romans 12 again, verse 1. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, watch it carefully, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now look at me. Our bodies belong to God. Our bodies belong to God in the fact that God has made your body and my body a temple. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's where we're going next. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Nothing is more plain written in the whole Bible than this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Are you there? You make me nervous when it takes you too long to find it. Verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Now, brethren, follow me carefully here so we understand this. Our bodies belong to God. Our bodies are in fact the temple of God. The word temple there is an allusion that takes us back to the law of Moses when that sanctuary stood there, and that sanctuary was telling them that the presence of God was in there. Now that sanctuary is in fact our bodies. Our bodies is a temple. It is a temple because our physical bodies now house deity. God Almighty Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit now indwells the Christian. Now, why He does that is another sermon for another day. The point we're making here is that because our bodies are a temple of God and that God Himself indwells our bodies, what that means is that everything we do with our bodies ought to magnify the Lord. And do you know that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said? In Philippians chapter 1, Paul is writing the Philippian letter from jail. He writes to the church at Philippi and he says to them, I hope to be released soon. There are indications in the letter where he thinks he's going to be let out of jail, and there are other indications when he's not sure if he's going to be let out of jail or he'll be executed then. In fact, he was released from jail on this occasion. But he isn't certain of his outcome. So in Philippians 1 and in verse 20, Paul tells them, whether I continue to live, that is, live my life in this fleshly body, whether I continue to live or whether I die, Paul said this. He says, I will live or I will die, but I will magnify the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Well, when you magnify something, you make it larger. And when you magnify something, then that something is clearer to view and to look at. Are you with me? Listen, when you place an object under a magnifying glass, that object gets larger and I can see it more clearly. Now, brethren, you and I are magnifying glasses. I said you and I are magnifying glasses. And we are to take our lives that we live in this physical body. We are to take our lives and we are to make the world see the Lord clearer and make the Lord larger for the world around us to see. Now listen to me. One of the great problems is that the world is turned off by Christianity, because we, who ought to be enlarging the Lord for the world to see, are in fact doing just the opposite. Brethren, we have to control our bodies. We have to control our temper. You can't stand out in the middle of the street and cuss your neighbor. We have to control our tongues. If we're going to maintain a right relationship with God, and this is what Paul is talking about, He's not talking about our relationship with fellow Christians. That's later in the chapter. He's not talking about our relationship with our enemies. That's later in the chapters. He's talking about this is your relationship to God as a Christian. Give God your love. All of it, not part of it. Give God your body. You are a magnifying glass. Allow the world to see largely and clearly that Jesus is in you. Number three, back to Romans 12. We sustain our relationship with God by giving Him our mind. Our mind. Romans 12, look at verse 2. But do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We are to give God our mind. We are not to conform, we are to transform, and we do that in our mind. Now here's what all that means.
In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul said, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth.
We are to get our minds on the heavenly, brethren. The heavenly. We have got to learn. We have got to learn to see life through the lens of eternity. I need to say that again. We have got to learn to see life through the lens of eternity. I'm reading now from Philippians, the 4th chapter, and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brothers, pause right there. Paul says, finally. And when he says, finally, he means what every preacher says when they say, finally. Nothing. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, whatever, if there's any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, here's the statement. Here's the statement. Spiritual stability is the result of how we choose to think. Spiritual stability is about how we choose to think. And in maintaining our relationship with God, we give Him our love, we give Him our mind, we give Him our body, but all of that is going to be reflected on how we choose to think. How do we sustain this right relationship with God? How do I stay right with God? I love Him complete, not in part. I give Him my body, realizing that His person in His spirit has indwelled me, and I'm going to magnify Him best I can. I'm going to give Him my mind, my thinking will be adapted to the heavenly and not the earthly. As long as the only thing you see is what's down here, you're missing what everything is really all about, because down here is a mess. Number four, to sustain this relationship with God, we must give Him our will. Our will. Look at Romans 12, the end of verse 2. That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. Now here's where we get crossed up here. What does it mean to give God our will? What's that mean? Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. It is the last night of Jesus' life. It is late Thursday night, maybe even crossed over into early Friday. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He took with him further in the garden Peter, James, and John. As he is in that garden with those three, in less than 12 hours, he will be nailed to the cross. He knows what is coming. So he begins to pray. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 39. And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." Stop right there. What cup? He's talking about the cup of suffering he is about to endure when that mob leads him out of the garden. When he's led out of that garden, he will go through the mockery of a trial. He'll stand before six different individuals. They will strip him of his clothes. They will flog him. They will put a crown of thorns on his head. They will spit on him. They will mock him. And they will just destitute him. Jesus is saying, let this cup of suffering pass from me. What cup is he talking about? He's talking about the cup of death. As he prays that prayer, in a few hours on that Friday at 9 a.m., they will nail him to a cross. He is deity, but he is also humanity. And in the garden, his humanity is crying out, listen, if we can do this another way, then let this pass. Now look at the rest of the verse. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus submitted his will to the will of God. And that's what it means to give God our will. Our will must submit to God's will. Now listen to me carefully. Is your will submitting to God's will, or are you still telling God how you're going to live? Is your will submitting to God's will, or are you still telling God how you are going to worship? Is your will submitting to God's will, or are you still telling God, this is how I am going to be saved? our relationship with God. Nothing is more important. And I think it's too easy that we get so caught up in this life, we lose sight of that. Amen. Our relationship with God. How do we maintain this relationship? The only thing that matters is that we die in a right relationship to God. So how do we keep that? What is our part of it? We give Him our love. We give Him our bodies. We give Him our minds. And we give Him our wills. Our relationship to God can be summed up in two words. Total commitment. Total commitment. When we die, nothing else is going to matter. How many suits I own, how nice I dress. How big my house, if I lived in a mansion or a shack. If I drove a Cadillac or pushed a skateboard. What's going to matter is your relationship with God. Paul said, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Have you give God your love? Have you give God your body, your mind, and your will? Is your life about total commitment to God? God's not going to be part-time for any of us. First place or no place. So where is He in your life? That's a question that only you can answer. Prayerfully, I hope we answer that question correctly. And prayerfully, and by the grace of God, if we need to make change, let's make change while we still have opportunity to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.